Hello and welcome, everyone. My name is Matthew Spencer, and I'd like to thank you for listening into our weekly message at Christ Church International. We are a gathering of believers living for the dream of Jesus, souls from every nation, one at a time. We love Jesus, we love the Bible, and we love people. Since 1981, we have been sharing the good news of Jesus, and now we're thrilled to be at our new location in downtown Longmont, Colorado at 527 Main Street. Our key verse for this year is 1 Chronicles 11:9. David's stride became longer, his embrace larger, yes, God of the angel armies was with him. Also, the Lord prophetically spoke to us the first Sunday of the year, saying, "Listen to me, yield to me, take my hand and walk with me, and 2016 will be the year of greater achievements." And now, here is today's message.
You know, we need to get that revelation in our hearts, just like they did, the men on the road to Emmaus. They had a revelation of who Jesus was. It just opened up to them, and so that's what we want to have happen for us too. We want to know and hear and see and understand who Jesus really is. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about the cross. The cross. Let's stop a minute and just pray. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, that we might have a knowledge of you, a revelation. Open up our hearts today, Lord, to see who you are, to understand, and be transformed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. You know, lately, as I've been reading the Old Testament, there's a scripture in Deuteronomy 6:23 that says that God brought his people out of bondage, out of Egypt, to bring them in to the land that we were just seeing with all those little snacks, the land that was, you know, productive and flowing and, you know, sweet. Weren't all those little flavors of those fruits sweet? Yes, they were sweet. So that's what God wanted to do for his people, was bring them out of the bondage, the oppression, the slavery, bring him in to something good and sweet, and into the blessing is what that really is. So he brought them out to bring them in. And I just love that phrase, he brought them out to bring them in. Well, he brought us out too, to bring us in. He brought us out of our oppression, our sickness, our harm, all of that to bring us into the good life in Jesus Christ, into the blessing. All right, so now, what did he bring him into? In the Old Testament says, large, beautiful cities that they didn't have to build, houses full of good things which they did not fill, wells they did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which they did not plant. So there are many things that they didn't have to earn or work for. God just provided it for them as part of the blessing package that God had for them. And what was God's desire in return? His desire was simply that they don't forget him, that they don't go after idols and worship false gods. His desire was that they would remember what God had done for them when he brought them out of Egypt, out of bondage, and that they be thankful. So God, that's the same thing God wants us to do. He wants us not to forget him. When he does those good things for us and delivers us, he wants us to be thankful people and not run after false gods. So that is our picture. That's the same picture that we have, is that out of Egypt experience that they were given. God is bringing us out of slavery. He's brought us out of slavery and bringing us into those good things. That's what Jesus did. Jesus went about doing good. He went about doing good and healing all who were sick and oppressed of the devil. In Matthew 15 alone, it says that Jesus healed the lame, the blind, the mute, the maimed, and many others. So there are many other kinds of cases, but Jesus healed them and made them whole. He made them whole. In the same chapter, we see that Jesus also was the provider. He brought them out of poverty. Jesus took those little loaves and fishes, 7 loaves and a few little fish, and with that, he fed a multitude of people. 4,000 men and women, children, all were fed. That was in Matthew 15. So we see in those two things that there was healing and there was provision. Those are some of the two biggest things that we need and that we often struggle with. Another way to say that he brought us out to bring us in is the exchange, like our CD, the exchange. There is an exchange that God made for us on the cross. And he has extended an invitation to the entire human race. Come and make an exchange. Come and make this exchange. Let me bring you out that I might bring you in. So let's face it, you know, we have there's so many things, you know, the sickness, poverty, and lack. Those things are burdensome. You know, family problems, they weigh us down. But God has an exchange for you today. He wants to bring you out of those bondages. One thing we need to know for sure is the cross. It is the cross, and the cross alone is the one place, it is the only place where you can find the answer to all of life's problems. It is the cross on which Jesus died. The cross alone is where you receive the supply for your burdens. The cross alone is where you receive wholeness for your body, your soul, your mind, your emotions, and your finances. For all, it's the cross. Philippians 4:19 says, "My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus." It's through Christ Jesus that every need is met. He brought us out of bondage to bring us to the blessing. It was one moment of time. This is an amazing thought. There was one moment in history, that video that the kids made, that one moment when Jesus died on the cross, and we saw Izzy acting that out so well. It was that one moment in time. It was that one sovereign moment, that one sovereign act of God where all the needs and the suffering of humanity were met. It was just that one moment in time. There was one salvation for all. There weren't countless solutions and countless ways of seeing things fixed. There were not lots of salvations. There is just one, and it is all found at the cross of Christ. And one thing we must see clearly, if you've got your Bibles, let's look at Isaiah 53. I have been reading this all week. I never cease to get amazed and be in awe of Isaiah 53. So many hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus did all this, it was recorded by the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 53. Let's look at verse 6. Well, let's back up to 5. The whole chapter, you really need to read the whole chapter. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." There's one thing we have to know, and it's really, really important to know. We're rebels.
That's right.
We need to know that. We were rebels. Maybe we still are. Maybe there's times we still are. If you've never actually received Christ, you're a rebel. I'm not trying to be hard, but that's what it says. It says that we have turned everyone to his own way. Everyone. So we need to know that right up front. The main problem of mankind is the turning of our hearts to our own way.
Right.
Turning our backs to God. The word iniquity itself, all-encompassing meaning of that word iniquity is rebellion. And the full meaning of that, often the Hebrew language has a deeper meaning, but the full meaning of that is the rebellion and the evil consequences that result from that rebellion. So there's always a consequence. And we know in life, when we've done things we shouldn't have done, there's always a consequence. So our rebellion caused a consequence. Jesus himself was not guilty of any sin. Isaiah 53:9 says, "And they made his grave with the wicked, but the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth." He was innocent. He was the spotless lamb of God. Our iniquity and our rebellion and all its horrible consequences was endured by Jesus in our place. The exchange was made. God now offers us all the good due to Jesus. So there was an exchange made at the cross. All of our evil consequences were placed on Jesus, that we might have all the good that was due to him, the spotless Lamb of God. One thing is, we can never, ever do enough to deserve it. We can never come up with enough goodness in our own hearts. That's one reason when we're sharing our faith with people, we make it clear that it's not our works, it's not by our works that we are saved. And, you know, it is very interesting to see how many people think it is by their works that they are saved. We see this over and over again. You say, why should you go to heaven? Because they may say, well, yeah, I'm going to heaven. But then, as you know, they will often say, because I was a good person, or I am a good person, or I do good things. But the Bible is clear. We all have turned to our own ways. We've all turned our backs on him. Exchange had to be made. The exchange is made at the cross. The exchange was made at the cross, and it is received by faith. That's our part. We receive it by faith. There's one clear statement I want to say very clearly to you and review with you. The evil that came upon Jesus, that the corresponding good might be offered to us. So all that evil came on Jesus, that the corresponding good would be offered to us. Let's just take a moment and thank God for that. Thank you, Lord. There are two aspects to the cross that are really important. The first aspect is that turning. It's that iniquity. It's that transgression. It's the sin that we might be forgiven. The second aspect of the cross is that Jesus bore our sickness and pain so that through his wounds we might be healed. Isaiah 53:4, we read that earlier. He was wounded. Chastisement for our healing was upon him. By his stripes we're healed. The thing I love to see is that that was confirmed in Matthew 8:16 and 1 Peter 2:24. He was punished and bruised that we might be physically whole. There had to be an offering. I don't know in the justice of God why that is the case, but God always required an offering. It used to be, if you sinned, you would bring a sheep, a bull, a goat, or some kind of animal that was required to the priest. You would confess your sin over the animal, and then it was offered for your sin. Then the priest would symbolically transfer the sin to the animal. The animal would then be killed, thus paying the penalty for the sin that had been transferred to it. So there was that was what God had set in place, the sacrificial offering. Your sin was placed on the animal, and then that animal was sacrificed. This foreshadowed, or was telling us ahead of time, that the one-time, all-sufficient sacrifice of Jesus for the sin of the whole earth would occur. That sin would be transferred to Christ. It says in Isaiah 53:12, therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. So he bore the sin of many. It was transferred to Christ. We can't earn it, as I've mentioned before. We can't be righteous enough for it. It's too high for us to attain. So just forget trying to be good enough to get to heaven. Just forget it right now. You can't do it. You can't do it. It's the grace of God at the cross of Christ. You know, even 2 Corinthians 5:21 and Romans 4 both say, don't try. It's too hard. Jesus was made sin with our sinfulness that we may be righteous with his righteousness. You know, I'm so thankful that we don't have to every Sunday load up a goat in the SUV and stuff an ox in the back of the truck, you know, and come to church and have somebody, you know, kill that for us. I'm so thankful that it was a one-time sacrifice for all time. That one moment in time, the cross of Christ. If we can just keep that so clear in our hearts, there's nothing else that paid that price but the cross of Christ. Death had to be the outcome for the sacrifice. The final outcome had to be death. Ezekiel 18:4 says, "The soul who sins shall die." James 1:15 says, "Sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." And one of our scriptures we use when we're sharing, Romans 6:23, "The wages of sin is death." So death was inevitable for the sacrifice lamb. Jesus, having identified with our sin, he now would also experience death, the outcome of our sin. Hebrews 2:9 says that he tasted death for everyone. He died the death that was due to all. Jesus died our death that we might receive his life. More goodness, more goodness. Think of those sweet fruits that you ate in our in-flight snack. That's the goodness of God. And a little sample, just a little sample of goodness, the taste. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. That was his goodness. He brought us out of poverty. So much of his goodness applies in so many areas. Jesus became poor that we can have his abundance. It was, even though Jesus did those miracles to demonstrate the power of God, it was on the cross that he took our poverty. Jesus was hungry, thirsty, naked. He owned nothing, and he was even buried in a borrowed tomb. At the cross, he took our poverty. Emotional suffering. He brought us out of shame and rejection to bring us to the acceptance with the Father. It was at the cross that Jesus bore our shame and our rejection. We know they mocked and they jeered at him. They whipped him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. He endured the cross, despising the shame. That's in Hebrews 12:2. He even had to endure separation from the Father, his Father God. We know that because he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's in Matthew 27:46. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Galatians 3:13 says, he has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That is exactly, he brought us out to bring us in. That was the promise, the blessing of Abraham, to bring him out of the bondage, out of Egypt, into the promised land. That's what Jesus did. He redeemed us out of the curse, out of the bondage, and into the blessing. Now we know that in Deuteronomy 28 is a list, and we're not going to read them, but a list of the blessings from obeying the law. And then there's a list of the curses from breaking the law. Now, I'm going to list to you a summary of the curses. And if any of these apply to you, we're going to pray later, if you allow us, we're going to pray that you get set free from those curses. Here's a summary of the curses. Humiliation, barrenness, unfruitfulness, mental and physical sickness, family breakdown, poverty, defeat, oppression, failure, and God's disfavor. So I'm going to read those again. If any of those apply to you, we're going to take it to the cross today. Amen. And we're going to receive by faith breakthroughs for you in those areas. Humiliation, barrenness, unfruitfulness, mental and physical sickness, family breakdown, poverty, defeat, oppression, failure, God's disfavor. You know, it was that one moment in time at the cross, and Jesus said, when it was complete, he said, it is finished. Hallelujah. It is finished. Remember, it's that one moment in time. It's the cross and the cross alone. He brought us out to bring us in. He brought us out of sin, shame, sickness, poverty to give us his life. And more abundantly, he brought us out of the curse to bring us into the blessing. Yes, it is finished. It is finished. So let's just take a moment. Grab some more water. Thank you, Lord. Let's just get an attitude of prayer right now. We thank you, Lord. First thing we need to do is we need to acknowledge that we are rebels. Before we can really get the full impact, the full provision that Jesus has for us, we need to acknowledge that. So just quietly before the Lord, just if he shows you, if you've never received Christ, then you know, I'm not trying to be hard on you, but you are a rebel. And the Lord doesn't want you to live in rebellion. He wants you to come to him because he's got all that goodness for you. So let's do this first. Let's just pray a prayer of repentance. And just repeat after me. Lord, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. And I repent of my turning from you. Of turning to my own way. I believe, Jesus, you were made sin with my sinfulness. That you died my death. That I might have your life. I believe you died on the cross. That you were buried for my sins, and you rose again. I receive you now as my Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. If the word says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So he doesn't leave us in a state of sin. He doesn't leave us in a state of rebellion. He cleanses us and sets us on course in the right direction. He takes us out and brings us in to a good land. Okay, now let's just take a moment. If the Lord is just showing you, you know, as believers, sometimes we have sin in our hearts. We may have some rebellion. Let's just quietly before the Lord, just if there's anything like that in your heart, let the Lord show you that right now. Thank you, Lord. And just confess it before the Lord quietly to yourself. And ushers, if you could get ready with our communion. Let's go ahead and get that passed out. We're going to take communion here in just a moment. As communion is being passed out, let's just go through a few things of that exchange that was made on the cross. And we're just going to, and you can just repeat after me. Jesus was punished that we might be forgiven. Jesus was wounded that we might be healed. Jesus was made sin with our sinfulness. That we might be made the righteous with his righteousness. We might be made righteous with his righteousness. Jesus died our death. That we might receive his life. Jesus endured our poverty. That we might share his abundance. Jesus bore our shame,
that we might share his glory.
Jesus endured our rejection,
that we might have his acceptance with the Father.
And then finally, Jesus was made a curse,
that we might enter into the blessing.
If you can see the puncture marks on the matzah, wish we all had like one big piece. Those were the nails in Jesus' hand. Those represent the lines, the stripes on his back, the nail prints in his hand, the cross. That's where it all took place. Lord, we thank you for the cross. We thank you that you did it all there in one moment of time, Lord. Oh, Father, we are so thankful for all that Jesus did for us, Lord. We rejoice. It wasn't anything we had to do, Lord. Thank you. We don't have to drum up any goodness. We just receive with simple and grateful hearts what you did for us today. Let's receive the bread. Lord, we can't always comprehend why it was an offering was necessary. But by your sovereign justice, Lord, that's what you required. Father, we thank you that that Jesus' blood was poured out for our sins and for our health and well-being and our wholeness. We receive it in Jesus' name. Let's receive.
Thank you for listening to Christ Church International's weekly message. We declare that the things that God said he would do, now he is doing it. If you are ever in the Longmont area, we would love for you to join us for our Sunday gathering. We meet every Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. in the heart of Longmont's Creative District in downtown. The address is 527 Main Street. That's near the intersection of 6th Avenue and Highway 287, which is Main Street in downtown Longmont. Are you on Facebook? Connect with us. Our page is facebook.com/ Christ Church International. Our website is www.christchurchinternational.org. Our email is contact@innercourt.com. And our mailing address is P.O. Box 2125, Longmont, Colorado 80502. Thanks for listening, and we hope to hear from you soon.